Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. What if I told you that the most successful kidnapper of all time has abducted billions of people? What if you were one of his victims without even knowing it? On October 9th, members of the Philadelphia Church of God will be observing a holy day, the Day of Atonement. This day pictures the toppling of Satan the devil. Right now, he is the god of this world. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. And yes, he is the most successful, accomplished kidnapper ever. The most stunning part of this heist is that the vast majority of victims are completely unaware that they have been kidnapped. The Day of Atonement comes after the Feast of Trumpets, which we will be observing this coming Monday, September 30th. The Day of Trumpets, like I said on the show last week, pictures the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And he will end 6,000 years of human suffering. The Day of Atonement draws attention to the reason for human suffering, the reason for our repeated failures over the last six millennia. Satan is the cause. Satan has kidnapped all mankind. He has deceived all mankind with his broadcast of negativity and hatred and lies. Ephesians 2 verse 2 shows that he is the master broadcaster. He does infect all of our minds to one degree or another. All of us, as carnal, selfish, sinful human beings, are naturally tuned in to his broadcast, and we need God's help to break that broadcast. But obviously, if we look around at the world, it's pretty obvious that most people have not even tried to break free of that broadcast. They have not even tried to escape from Satan's shackles. Now, it really is astounding, like I said, that most people don't realize how enslaved they are. People today constantly talk about God, if they're even religious at this point, which fewer and fewer people are. They talk about God, they talk about angels, they talk about Jesus, mostly the baby Jesus. But why is it that they hardly ever talk about Satan and the demons? That is clearly part of the Bible. There is an evil spirit realm as well, not just a good spirit realm. Could this possibly be part of Satan's plot to get us to laugh at the idea of a red horned devil carrying a pitchfork, just to make him seem as humorous and harmless as possible so that we are unaware of his deadly attacks? Satan, of course, is a master. He plans, he schemes, he attacks weaknesses, he lulls his victims to sleep before striking. So, of course, he would want us to think that he's not a threat or that he doesn't even exist at all. Now, of course, the Day of Atonement has to be Satan's least favorite day. Like I said, this day pictures him being overthrown. This Day of Atonement pictures him being cast off the throne of this earth. That's another thing that even the religious today don't understand. People in this world, in traditional Christianity, think that God is in charge of the world. Now, in an indirect way, he is. He controls the extent of Satan's damage or how much Satan is allowed to destroy. But Satan is the one who is really in charge of the earth for as long as God will let him be. On the fulfillment of this Day of Atonement, though, his time will be up. His reign will end violently. He knows this is coming, which is why today he is on a rampage like we've never seen on this earth. He is attacking, he is destroying, he is enslaving, he is making miserable more and more people than ever before, crippling them with all kinds of addictions and deadly sins, because he knows that his time is short. He knows that in just a few years, a matter of a handful of years, we don't know how many exactly, but not very long, his reign will be over. He will be replaced by the perfect, loving government of God. He'll be replaced by Christ and by the bride of Christ, those few who have been called out of the world today and have been converted before Christ returns. So, of course, Satan is more urgent than ever. And we see that everywhere we look in the world. The more and more people talk about freedom, it seems the more and more they are enslaved. We have a booklet titled No Freedom Without Law, and it really does explain this quite well. We won't be going through that today, but it's available to you for free at thetrumpet.com. People think that freedom is the opposite of law. But in reality, without laws, what actually takes place? It's just anarchy. It's just people abusing each other. If there's no law, there's no penalty for broken laws. There's no fear of hurting other people because there's no penalty for it. There's no consequence for it. The law is what allows us to live in relatively civil societies today. To a certain extent, it's not really nearly as civil as it should be. But at least the majority of people are not going around robbing and killing other people, because there are laws against that and there are consequences. And yet, when it comes to religion, when it comes to God, these same people who know that physical laws are important actually think it's okay to reject spiritual laws. The Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that, if applied to the letter and to the spirit, would erase all problems on the entire earth. Satan is lawless, and he tricks human beings into thinking that lawlessness is actually freedom. Whether it's in your personal life with certain physical vices, or when it comes to religion, thinking that the law is done away. Many, many people, billions of them, are convinced that the fewer laws, the better. That might be true of some of the useless, pathetic human laws that are created by human beings, but God's law is totally different. It is perfect. And if it were only applied, people would have peace. People would finally be happy. That's what we're missing out on today. You don't see happy people in the world. How often do you go out in public and even hint or catch the hint of a smile from somebody else? Or even see someone acknowledge that you exist, make eye contact with you? Generally today, people try to keep to themselves and they don't want to be hassled. They don't want to be stopped by somebody on the sidewalk because they feel that it would be unsafe. And usually they're right. This is a dangerous society in some ways, depending on where you go, especially in certain cities. It can be really dangerous. But people aren't happy. There are a lot of gangs out there that cause people to feel unsafe. Issues like illegal immigration, where thousands and thousands of people are coming unchecked through the southern border of the U.S. every month. That's lawlessness, and it literally is leading to people getting hurt or killed. That's not happiness. What about the opioid epidemic? Why is it that so many millions of people are hooked on these pills? Do you think maybe something is missing from those lives? Why would people think it's necessary to overdose on drugs or to fall into alcoholism or sexual perversion? Is this all not just a way to fill a void in these people's lives? Is that really happiness? Is this something that actually does improve the quality of life of the people addicted to these things? We all know that it doesn't make anybody happy. And yet, these same types of sins and vices and destructive behaviors are constantly glorified on every type of TV show or movie, in the media. The consequences, the harmful effects, are hidden or at least glossed over, while the glamorous side, the fraudulent side, is displayed openly. Just to make people think that, oh, well, if you're rich and famous, if you get enough money, why not spend it on drugs? Why not spend it on a promiscuous, lawless lifestyle? That's the American dream, isn't it? To be as lawless as possible? Surely a lot of people think that now because that's the message that is constantly being communicated to them. But again, this is the ultimate slavery where we cannot consciously make the right decisions because we have addictions that pull us in the other direction. This is slavery, and this is because of Satan. Satan's influence, Satan's broadcast, convincing people that they have to have this certain type of drug or this certain type of entertainment or whatever else it might be. If they didn't have that in their lives, they would feel empty somehow. That's the way Satan works on them and makes them feel desperate without that, I guess you could call it, comforting vice in a way. That's not freedom. This is why human beings need to be freed. Human beings need to be rescued from Satan the kidnapper. That's what the Day of Atonement pictures. Satan is God's ultimate adversary. He presents the opposite way of life that God does. There are only two ways. There really isn't any gray area about it, because if you are in the gray area, you're actually going Satan's way, even if you didn't realize that. This gets all the way back to the two trees of the book of Genesis and the first two humans, Adam and Eve. You can see this right at the beginning of your Bible, where human beings did have a chance to choose God, to choose the tree of life. And instead, Satan lied to them and swayed them into taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you could call it the tree of death. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 makes our choice very clear as well. God sets before us life and death, and we have to choose one or the other. Now again, we are able to choose, which does make Satan's captivity or Satan's enslavement of human beings somewhat shaky, because they all have the chance on any given day to break free from that slavery. The problem is he's so good at convincing people, making them fall into addictions, that almost nobody makes that choice. But that is the choice that we all have as free moral agents. God didn't make us as robots who have to obey him. We can choose that. And sadly, we can also choose wrong and follow Satan instead. It is just astounding, though, that people think Satan's way is freedom. If we look around at the effects of that lawless lifestyle, how can we possibly say we're experiencing freedom? even here in America, the most prosperous nation in the entire world, we're bickering and arguing. We hate each other so much that we're on the brink of another civil war. How is that freedom? How is that true happiness? It really can't be. We can't fool ourselves into thinking that. Now, going back to those two trees, when Adam and Eve chose wrong, it did set the course for the rest of mankind. They could have taken from the tree of life. They could have walked with God and let him continue to grow and develop their character. They could have learned so much more about his master plan, his marvelous future that he has in store for all human beings. And instead, they chose the way of human reasoning. Adam and Eve literally were tricked into thinking that they were smarter than their own creator. Satan made them think that they could just look at the physical evidence in any given situation and come to a better conclusion than what God could reveal to them. That's why you see today human beings are confined to physical knowledge. The scientific realm realizes, obviously, that humans have far greater capabilities than animals. And yet, because they confine their research to the five senses, they have no clue about the human spirit that combines with the human brain to form the human mind. They have no concept of the fact that there is a spiritual component that attaches to the human brain. They have no idea. They try to somehow tell us that evolution is the answer. Somehow we evolved, and that's why we have the ability to speak dozens or hundreds of different languages. If you total up all of us, of course, we can't all individually do that. That's why we have the ability to build skyscrapers or to jet up to the moon and back, to fly around the Earth at 45,000 feet in an airplane. All of the incredible marvels of science and technology and industry and agriculture, education, music, literature, art, all of the developments of human beings somehow just occurred because we evolved from animals. That's the best answer they have, because they cannot look to the spirit realm. They cannot possibly acknowledge a spirit component combined with the human brain. This is the sad, dried up, pathetic fruit of humans without God. The way that human beings think they are so smart, we can be so arrogant away from God, and we think we know everything. How sad that is, when God could make so much more important knowledge and understanding and wisdom available to us. The good news, though, is that there is going to be a rescue. Human beings today who are enslaved by the billions will have the chance to be rescued. And in fact, those few in God's church today, those who make that commitment to be baptized and live as a living sacrifice for God, are an example of how the entire rest of the world can be saved. It will not happen in this age before Christ's return. It will happen according to God's perfect timing. But all human beings can choose this right way when God makes it available to them. Getting back to that kidnapping analogy, Satan is the kidnapper. All mankind are the captives. And there is a ransom that had to be paid to rescue the few of us in the church today and to one day rescue all mankind. That ransom was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He suffered, was beaten brutally to pay for physical sins that cause sickness and disease and poor health. And then he was murdered, which pays for our spiritual sins, the breaking of the Ten Commandments. And when we accept that ransom we are choosing to break free from the captivity to Satan. Again, a few of us have done that today, and very many more people can have the opportunity to do that very soon. And there are still those today, if God opens their minds, if God opens your mind, maybe possibly you can break free from that captivity today as well. There is a really great reward for all of those who escape from Satan today. That's what this Holy Day plan pictures. That's why God's church every year keeps these holy days. And right now we're in that fall Holy Day season. Like I said, trumpets pictures the return of Jesus Christ. Then the Day of Atonement pictures Satan going from the captor to a captive as well. He will be a captive while everyone else is freed. He will literally be bound up in a bottomless pit. You can see that in Revelation chapter 20. That's why Satan hates the Day of Atonement so much. He will go from king to slave. Of course he would hate that. But we should all be really excited about that, because when he is bound up for 1,000 years, he won't even have a chance to broadcast his hatred and his lies into the minds of human beings anymore. He won't have a chance to enslave anybody else to all of these numerous addictions that we see around us today. So many people who are suffering today. I mean, even just the fact that there are about 1 million homeless people or so in America, many more than that around the world. Homelessness itself is the story of many addictions combined into that one population. Homelessness is not usually just the product of maybe losing your job, and then a couple weeks later you're out on the street. It doesn't work that way. This is a result of refusing to work, or just not trying hard enough to find a job and hold a job, getting into drugs and alcoholism, and just getting so hooked that your day-to-day life is ruined. That's the cause for homelessness. Just addiction, enslavement to many different sins. Even those who aren't homeless, though, are enslaved to a different degree. And it's just a terrible life that they need to be broken free from. On this Day of Atonement, members of God's church will actually fast. They'll go sunset to sunset without any food or water. And this is to remind us of our weakness apart from God. And it does remind us of what the entire world is going through right now. They are weak apart from God, and that's why they can't yet break free from bondage to Satan. That's why they need this warning message. That's why they need to have hope in a better future, a future that only God can provide. This Day of Atonement really should be a day of rejoicing. It reminds us of how badly we need God in our lives. It reminds us that every day right now, Satan is stepping in the way. He's getting in between human beings and their Father, their spiritual Father in heaven. He's getting in the way. He's causing millions of them to think that they don't even have a spiritual Father, that God doesn't even exist. He's causing many of them to think that freedom is actually lawlessness, that sins are pleasurable, when really they lead to death. But finally, on the fulfillment of this Day of Atonement, Satan will be removed. He will not be stepping in between humans and God anymore. He will not be preventing us from being at one with God. You look at the spelling for the Day of Atonement. At one meant. Finally, with Satan removed, all mankind will have a chance to be at one with God. What a beautiful, exciting day this is. And again, we're keeping this on October 9th. What a privilege to know about this part of God's plan. without Satan being removed, how could we possibly come to a world where there's no more war, no more violence, no more hatred, no more lies, no more addiction and suffering? It will never happen until Satan is removed. That can really give us a lot of hope as we see world events escalating today. People are on the brink of completely wiping out all their brothers and sisters and all humanity. And yet, with Satan out of the way, we will never come to a moment like this, a dangerous time like this again. So today we've been talking about the Day of Atonement. This is the fifth out of the seven observances every year that God's people keep. And it does remind us all the time that Satan won't be around anymore. What a hopeful day. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.